Last Sunday, we kicked off this idea of pray first. That before we start our day, we're going to, before we send that text to the person we're really frustrated at, we're going to, before we go into that classroom or go into that work meeting, we're going to, we want to develop this attitude that is really what Jesus showed us throughout his whole life of praying first. And so last week we started the kickoff and you got to see some picture. We'd love for you to go out after service today and get a picture with Pray First just to add to kind of our family album. Feel free to grab a t-shirt if you want. Those are cost $5, but the wristbands are free. And you bring one for you and get one to pass on to a coworker or a classmate. We want to do it as families. We want to do it as adults and students. We just want to make sure that we convince our kids to do it the right way. And this is probably not the best way to get our kids to pray first. But, you know, sometimes drastic times call for drastic measures. We want to look at this idea of how do we go from an idea to a lifestyle. I think many of us come to church, many of us throughout life, we have moments and we have this, that we hear these ideas, and these ideas are good, and they excite us, and they make us feel better, and they inspire us, but they don't turn into a lifestyle. And, you know, it's very possible in the Christian faith to be saved and yet not develop a lifestyle of freedom, power, victory, and peace. It's very possible to be saved. I mean, God loves you. You've asked him into your life by faith. He's there. He forgives you. And yet, there's not a lifestyle of joy, a lifestyle of peace in your life because you've gotten ideas, but you haven't turned them into what we're going to say patterns of literally just Monday morning, Tuesday night, what Wednesday looks like. And we want to talk about this idea of how do we go from an idea to a lifestyle. And the scripture in Luke 18 is Jesus encouraging us to make prayer a lifestyle, not just an idea. We want to pray first, but we don't want to just pray once, okay? What we want to do is we want to develop this idea that we shouldn't give up becoming the person of prayer that by God's grace, every one of us can be. Because sometimes we come to church and we look at the pastor up front or the elder or the ministry leader and we think, well, they're, you know, they can pray. And then somehow we think we can't. And it's just not true. The grace of Jesus Christ comes into your life and mine to help us become people of prayer. We're going to talk why and a little bit of how today, and hopefully it'll be simple, but it'll really be an encouragement, and it'll be mixed with the power of God in your life to really begin to see not just the experience of being saved, but really start living out being free. And so we want to look at Luke 18. We're going to look at verses 1 through 8. And you've just really got to pay attention to the first verse of Luke 18, verse 1. Pay attention to it because Jesus is showing us that he understands sometimes we hear his ideas, but we're having a tough time making it a lifestyle. And so here it is, Luke 18, starting at verse 1 through 8. I'm going to read from the NIV. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. End of sermon. That's just it. Always pray. Don't give up. There we go. Done. All right, now I'll give you a little extra. All right, he says this. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared for what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea. And I want you to hear this plea because some of it, it's your heart's cry this morning. Grant me justice. Grant me justice against my adversaries. For some time, the judge refused. But finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, keeps being persistent, keeps being faithful to come to me, I will see that she gets justice. so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God, who is just, who is loving, who does care, will he not bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, Jesus is saying this, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. And then he says here at the end, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find people believing that God will be faithful to answer? And he's seeing it by them living out, I'm going to keep coming to him, and I'm going to keep coming to him, I'm going to come to him again, I'm going to come to him again, because I have faith that the Son of God will keep his promise in my life. That's what God's getting after. He's getting after, always pray, don't give up. Don't just make it an idea, let's make it a lifestyle. Now, if we think about this word and we think about how Jesus says this idea of you should always be doing this, always pray, don't give up, then we just need to recognize that Jesus is hitting on something that's really common in all of our lives. You see, things that are important to us, that really are important to us, although because of our insecurities and fears, we get this all turned around, we keep doing, we keep going after. Things that are important to us, we make sure we don't lose track of them. And there's a few really simple examples of that. How many of you here in this room today have a fantasy football team? Just raise your hand. Let's just give testimony. All right? All right? You know what? If you got a fantasy football, you're tracking it, right? You're tracking it. How many of you have got one of these Fitbits or Apple Watches and you're kind of tracking your steps? All right? You're kind of doing that. How many of you are signed up with a particular store that's your favorite that you get their email or their catalog because you want to keep track of when they've got sales or when they're selling stuff? All right? Yeah, it's important for you to make sure you don't miss it. You know, some of you probably have an app on your phone that right now you can keep track of your finances and see what's going on there. Right? It's what's important to us, we tend to keep after and make sure. We're not necessarily good on our own, so we build into our lives things that help us stay in a lifestyle of what we know is important. If you think of all the things we track in life, I mean, we track our calories, we track our cholesterol, our blood sugar, we track with our favorite celebrity or artist on Twitter or Spotify, we track that candidate or that team that we care about. I mean, things that are important to us, We tend to watch over, and we tend to build somehow in our life that we're constantly going back. Am I staying up with that? And it really just points out to this one idea, that we track what we treasure. All right? What really is important to you, you track. You track it. Somehow, some way, may not be formal, may not be structured, but you got some way that if it's important to you, you're tracking it. Jesus said what? Where your heart is, there your treasure will be. We keep following what's important to us. So we track what we treasure. And a matter of fact, this idea of lifestyle is we create a pattern in our days and weeks for what we want or need the most. I think in your notes it goes a little different. I think it says in your notes, we make a pattern for our priorities. We make a pattern for our priorities. So, I was chatting with my friend Ronnie. We play basketball every Friday. We got a pattern. We show up because why? It's important to us. So we put into our week a time. There's a pattern. There's a rhythm of us doing this. Whether it's your favorite show or whether it's getting together with somebody, you build in your life a pattern to what's important. Now, most of us think, oh, not me, Pastor Sean. No, what's most important to me, I don't ever get to do because I live in this life where I'm really helpless and everybody else is telling me what to do. It's like, No, you built a life that's getting exactly what is most important. And probably what's going on is it's hard to recognize it, but you're either a people pleaser or you're pretty insecure, and so you're depending on other people's peace or approval in your life. And so really, you've built your life to get what you value most, which is they need to be pleased with me. They're driving you nuts. They're making you miserable. They're causing you to be insane, but they're still the most important opinion to you. And see, what happens is Jesus said it, said it in Matthew 7, 17 and 19. Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Jesus is saying, look, your life is producing what you've made it to produce. Your life is not a result of how other people are treating you or other people having power. It's you. You know, no matter what, if a tree is an apple tree, it doesn't matter what's around it, it's producing apples. All right? And sometimes we tend to look at our life and we don't like the results we're getting, and we look all around us and say, it's your fault, and it's your fault, and it's your fault, and it's your fault, and it's your fault. And that's not true. Now, are they causing you grief? Are they making life tough on you? Do you need extra grace? Do you need to pray first a lot more often because of it? Yes, you do. But you know what? You're an apple tree. And no matter what's around you, you're producing apples. And so what we need to do is instead of looking around and saying, the reason why I'm not getting what I want out of life is because of him and her and them, what we need to say is, you know what? I think I'm getting what I'm putting in. I think what I'm doing is producing the fruit I'm getting. Can I get an amen for that, even though it hurts a little bit? It hurts a little bit, but it's good to hear. You see, my lifestyle is getting exactly what I designed it to get. I've designed my life. I've put a pattern in life that I am getting what I think is most important. Now, I'm not happy. I don't like what I'm getting, but my life is built to get it. So if I don't like what I'm getting, I mean, hopefully this is pretty simple, right? I should actually change my patterns. Is that good news? Like, I actually need to if I don't like what I'm getting in my life, instead of saying I'm powerless and everybody else around me is the reason why I'm not getting love, joy, peace, patience, instead of blaming everybody else that I'm not getting that, I need to say my tree, this life, is getting exactly what it was designed to get. And I need to look into my heart and my life and say, Lord, what do you want me to change? The idea of repentance is not just a word or a thought. It's that I change what I do. So when we repent, what we're doing is we're changing a pattern in our life. And we're changing the pattern not because if I don't do this, God won't love me. Look, God's going to love you whatever pattern you got. All right? That's the good news of the gospel. He loves you. Now, are you experiencing any of the benefits of it? I don't know. Is your pattern even including and welcoming God into your life? Maybe, maybe not. But what I want to recognize is that repentance means I should change my ways. And it should be really practical. I should be thinking just like I track with my football team or that store in their sales or that candidate. I should, Lord, how am I tracking with you? What does it look like to make my patterns reflect what I say is my priority? Simple, right? Not hard? Everybody got it so far? Good? All right. So what we want to do is we want to look at this idea of pray first. You know, we heard that idea last week, and for us it was like, yeah, this is a good idea. This idea makes sense to me. I need this in my life. Now the question is, a week into it, how do we do? Like, was a pattern there of praying first, or was it just an idea? Was it just kind of what we did, and every once in a while we remembered, and we were kind of hoping that idea would inspire us magically some moment? Or did we build into our life a pattern to pray first? Did we say, I'm going to give these 15 minutes? Did we put the appointment on my phone? Did we say, before I go to the third place, which is online, I'm going to go to my prayer place? And did we live that out? And we don't do that to beat ourselves up. We just do that to recognize, hey, I don't want this just to be an idea in my life. I want it to be my lifestyle because I want good fruit to come out of my life. And by the grace and victory of Jesus Christ, I have the power to change. I have the power. God, I'm going to give you the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and then I'm going to pray that you bless it and make it more than enough to meet the need. But it's got to start by us giving. And so I really want us to look at that idea of how do we begin to pray first in a way that's just not a hopeful idea, but I've actually decided I'm going to change the way I do some things in my life. And then what we can do is we can see the fruit that's connected to the root. We can see I gave my time to God, and I'm getting God results. I shared with probably two or three people this past week. They're talking about being frustrated with people. And I'd be like, hey, so who'd you talk to first when you got up in the morning? And, you know, then you get to, oh, Pastor Shad, you always go there. Why do you always go there? Why don't you just, you know, why don't you just feel bad with me? And it's like, you know, and I'm like, hey, who'd you talk to first? And they're like, oh, you know, did you pray? And I said this. I said, hey, literally two, three people this week, I said, you know, if you would talk to God first, then you wouldn't be so frustrated with people when you talk to them. But when you talk to people first and then kind of complain to God about it afterwards, there's just no peace. You got to kind of set the pattern. You got to make sure God's first so that then afterwards, I mean, you know, why do we act like every day the world's the world? Like it's a surprise. I can't believe them. It's like, dude, you've been living with them for 20 years. Why is this still surprising you every day? Like, just, you know, I can't believe the news of the world. Yeah, last time I checked, Jesus hadn't come back yet. It's still the way it is. You know, it's just like, why are we surprised? Why is it catching us off guard every day? It's like, hey, maybe it's just because what has happened is Satan, who likes to steal, kill, and destroy, who likes to lie to me, pressure me, try to twist and bend me the wrong way, a world that's putting pressure on me to live in patterns that are not healthy. Maybe I just need to recognize that those things have been pushing me around a little too much. And although I have this idea of Jesus being the center of my life, and I have this idea of prayer being important, I haven't turned it into a lifestyle. And all I'm missing is the grace of God with the decision of my will to say it's time to change. It's just time to change, time to repent, time to do it different. Now, I think, you know, for all of us, there are a few, and I'm getting really deep. That. Wow. Oh, were you doing the bees thing for me? Okay, that was, imagine you're hearing the sound of bees right now. Okay, thank you. That was awesome. There, you're hearing those things right there. Okay? Sorry. All right. I don't know. How many people have been stung by a bee? Has anybody ever been cutting the grass and accidentally run over them? Ooh. Did you think like five times before you ever cut that section of grass again? Right? Right? Because, and it's just that image. Like, there's some things that the enemy puts in our life that are just like bees, like we're running into, and it drives us away from prayer. Okay? It just drives it because it stinks. It gets us, and we're like, I ain't going back there. And I want you to just look, and I want you to think about this last week with this idea of what does it look like to take the idea of praying first. Let's go from idea to lifestyle. There are three things. Now, I'm going to dump on me first, all right? I'm going to tell you my fail. And actually, we were joking about, Ronnie and I were joking about it. So, second service last week, we're talking about all the ways to pray first. I put this on Facebook, I joked. I said, and if you're over 40 years old and you're about to go exercise, you should pray first because you're about to get hurt. Yeah, it's like, that's what's about to happen because you're over 40 years old. Well, I'm driving to go play basketball because that's one of my patterns. Sometimes I get a Sunday night to play ball. And I'm literally in the car thinking about, you know, I probably should, like, you know, I don't pray. I want to practice prayer. Maybe I should pray with the guys before. I was thinking of all the guys that we play with. And I literally thought, nah, I don't know, not those guys. You know, I don't. If I get mad or if I don't play well, if I get angry, then it's going to look all bad. I'm going to be a hypocrite, you know. So I literally didn't pray first because I was thinking, what if I have a bad game or I lose my temper or something like that kind of thing, right? And so the irony is I didn't pray first and I got hurt. I mean, I don't know if you can tell that, but I still have a black eye right here from getting whacked. And I thought, you know, it goes to show me. I didn't pray first. I got hurt. I'm over 40. That's how it goes. It's just kind of like it was a good lesson, a little humbling. I was like, you know, Lord, I need to remember. I think most of us, there are some places, maybe it's in our home, in our workplace, in our school, that we need to pray first, but we're not doing it because we're afraid we're going to get a black eye. We're going to look bad. We're going to look like a, starts with an H, hypocrite. If we pray first and then lose it or then don't do right, and so we do what? We don't pray. And then what happens? Then we just get a different version of a black eye. All right? I think you and I need to remember that even though we want to be consistent people, so we're pretty sensitive to that hypocrite thing. And so we're like, well, I don't look like a hypocrite. I don't pray. And then, you know, we need to remember that in that moment, we're staying true to who we say we believe in. And that's not being a hypocrite. Now, after we lose our cool, we'll be like, by the way, that's why I'm praying. All right? And, you know, just kind of like keep helping me. But we need to stop giving in to the enemy and taking prayer and saying, well, that's a good idea for someplace else, but not here. And we need to say, no, it is for here. I do need to pray here. Students, every morning, you get moment of silence. You could pray first every morning if you wanted to. But most of the times when you're not doing it in the morning, why aren't you doing it? Because you're afraid of what it's going to look like to everybody else around you, right? So that's why you don't do it. So it's like, no, I need to pray first, even though I'm afraid of what it looks like to everybody else. At work and in the things we do, we need to remember to pray first. Some of us, you know what? Here's the irony. We really need to start praying with our spouse, but we kind of feel the worst about how we've behaved with our spouse. So the place we need to apply prayer the most is the place we're doing it the least. It's like, well, you know, I should pray, but then you probably just pray that I'd stop not doing what you know I've already done. And so maybe we won't pray because I'll feel bad. It's like, no, just, hey, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for being with us. Please help us. We've got to take this idea of, I don't want to get that black eye. It's like, you know, we just say, in the parable, the persistent widow, she don't care. I don't care what anybody else sees. I know he's got my answer. I know I need the answer. I know if I'm going to go to him and get the answer. We've got to have that same attitude as we talk to the Lord, who is a loving Father to us. Now, the second is we're burdened. One of the reasons, one of the things that kind of stings us and drives us away from prayer is we're just burdened. The woman in the story is burdened, but she knows instead of trying to find answers other ways, she needs to go to the judge. And we need to go to the judge too, the one who will watch over us. But when we get burdened, and I would put burden and the word busy really close together in life, okay? Most of the time we're too busy because we're too burdened, right? And we can use all of the time management techniques we want. Sometimes we have to just follow Jesus, who says, come to me, those who are what? Burdened and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Like, you need to drop some of these burdens is what the issue is. So that we come burdened, and because we're burdened, we think, and it's the epitome of not thinking correctly. It's like, I don't have time to pray. It's like, dude, you don't have time not to pray in your life. You know? I mean, now I want to do this. It's not in your notes, but here's what prayer is. And it's kind of reflected in the passage, and it's all the passage about prayer. This is really simple. Prayer is talking to God, listening to God, giving to God, and being filled by God. It's just a little tennis match back and forth. Hey, God, how you doing? I love you even though you're a knucklehead. Lord, sorry I did that. I just want to give that over to you. All right, here's my love and grace. You can handle it. Match, game, set, match. It's just that. It's that simple. It's not complicated. You're not too busy to not pray. All you have to do is say, Lord, I need you today. Thank you for grace. Don't forget I love you. I'm with you. God, I know. I don't know why I keep doing that. I'm sorry. I just give that to you. Hey, let me replace it with this. That's prayer. That is prayer. That's all prayer is. And we'll get a chance through the year to fill in a lot of thoughts with that. But that's all that prayer is. And when we get burdened, the first person we need to talk to is him. God, I can't do this. God, this makes me feel like a loser. God, I feel so inept when this happens. God, you know how I'm feeling right now. Yeah, I do. Don't forget. Let God speak to us. We'll talk about one simple scripture. Hopefully you're doing the Luke devotional. It's one scripture. I mean, you can read the whole chapter if you want to read more, but just read the one scripture. Just like, hey, don't forget, this is how I feel about you today. Thanks, because I don't feel that way about me today. Yeah, but I do. I haven't changed. Okay. Okay, God, you're right. You know what? Let's do this again. How do you want me to handle it? I give this to you. You know what? This is how I give you the power to do it. That's all prayer is. And when we're burdened, that's all we need to do. And we just need to stop enough, because you and I, kind of, we start in prayer and we're just, our brains are still going, that we're starting to talk to God, but we're not even paying attention to ourselves in the beginning. And so we just need to give it a little time. That's why reading the scriptures really good. It forces us to look at words. Say it out loud. If you can't focus on it, say it again and again. And eventually, it's like, all right, God, I'm trying to hear you here. God, please help me. Talk to God, listen to God, give to God, be filled by God. That's all prayer is. And all of us do this. Thursday, I just had a really busy week, about to have another really busy one, and I got invited to another meeting with social services, with I'm chairing, to work on a project. I knew it's a tricky situation, and so I got to the building a little early. I did like a lot of you did this week. You just got to your workplace, your school, 15 minutes, and you sat in your car. That's what you did, and you sat in your car. That's what I did. I sat in my car. I opened up the scripture, said, Lord, you know, I started thinking, oh, am I ready for the meeting? Da, 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 da. I was like, all right, Lord, just going to read this for a little bit. And the Lord began to speak to me about just he's faithful. And so I finally finished up, and I said to the Lord, I don't have the answer for what's in there today, but you do. So I literally said, I'm just praying first right now, God. Just chalk it up to pray first. You can do it. Please help me. I went in there. Literally, the meeting went so well, I literally had a moment in the middle of the meeting where I said something. After I said, wow, that was really good. I mean, who came up with that? You know, I was like, I didn't say that out loud. That would have been a little odd. But I literally thought, I was like, wow, that really sounded good. What? I didn't come up with that. It's like God just said, God, you know, Sean, you pray first. I'll provide. Just pray first, though, and I'll give you what you need. And so when we're burdened, we need to not turn that into running away from God and running away from prayer. Let's run into prayer because he's got the answers. We're too busy not to pray. We're too busy not to pray. And then three, and this is probably the most powerful tension of the story, is this widow has a right to be bitter because she's asked. And she's asked, and she's asked again, and she's got turned down again, and no answer, and no answer, and no answer. Look, the enemy can't create, but he sure can twist, all right? He has no authority over your life, but he could just try to deceive, all right? And when you're not getting an answer, Jesus says, don't give up. Keep praying. And bitterness can set in because I feel like I haven't had justice. I've asked, where is God? Look, that's where faith comes in. That's where Jesus sends the parable. Will someone believe that I'm going to be good? Come on, I know I haven't answered yet, not the way you think. I've answered, just not your answer yet. I've provided what you need. It just hasn't been it's not what you're looking for at the end. Look, what does Jesus say? Look, I'm telling you, Father God will bring you justice. He's saying it. I'm telling you it's going to happen. But what you got to do is don't give up. Don't get bitter. Just give it to the Lord again and again. I love one pastor. He said, look, God is always answering our prayers. But depending on what he's doing in our life, those answers are a lot sometimes what we don't want to hear. When the timing is wrong, God says slow. When our request is wrong, God says no. When we are wrong, God says grow. And when it all comes together, he says, sure enough, go. Yes. I mean, God's working. He is answering. He's doing things in your life. There are some times that if God gave me the answer with the current attitudes I have, I'd be an idiot. I'd be self-righteous. And I'd be like, and I'd have attitudes that got left even though I got my answer, that God says, that's not going to go well for you or anybody else around you, Sean. So you know what? I'm working that answer in your life, but we got to address this attitude before you see everything that you're believing for, because that would not be good to keep you in that attitude, and then you get the answer. Now, look, I can't explain God's sovereignty and when he answers and how, all right? I'm not making excuses, and I'm not trying to give you a formula. I'm just saying, you got to not let bitterness set in because God is faithful. And Jesus put it in the scripture in Luke 18 to say, don't give up. Just don't give up. Turn to your neighbor, say, don't give up. Turn to your other neighbor, say, you especially, don't give up. All right. So let's wrap up. Jesus, the Bible is clear, the power of prayer. If there's one thing Satan wants to keep you from, he wants to convince you that you shouldn't even try to be a person of prayer. Like, there's one thing to believe maybe you could and then it'd be hard. There's another thing to just not even have you show up to the field to compete. All right? And Satan wants you to not to think that being a person of prayer is for some really spiritual person who's disconnected from the world, who has no connection to real life. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. To make Jesus the center of our life is to be a person of prayer. To live out that we depend on God by stopping and asking and developing in us a lifestyle that can bear good fruit instead of always living in the, I'm trusting in me, I'm trusting in me, I'm trusting in me. I'm getting shaped by everybody else instead of him. And so the scripture in Revelation shows us a power picture of prayer that I want us to hold on to as we finish up. In Revelation 5, the book of Revelation showing the will of God finishing up on this earth, what it looks like at the throne room of heaven, how God, what God's ways are up there. And it says, as it uses a lot of different imagery that some we understand and some we don't, it says around the throne of God, it says the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense. And can you read the next line for me? Which? Holding the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open up its seals, which really means to fulfill God's will on earth. I'm not going to get into that. It's just, it's the whole imagery that God's will, heaven is seeing that God's will on earth is not done. And when it's about to move, it looks to the prayers of the saints that it's been collecting in this image of golden bowls, this idea that God is tracking what's important to him. Prayers are important to him. Because I gave dominion of the earth over to man. So when man says, Lord, I'm asking that your will be done back on earth. See, that's something I'm going to use to pour back out. Because what the scripture says is in Revelations 8:3, as we begin to see the will of God unfold in the book of Revelations, how it begins is this. Another angel had a golden censer and came and stood at the altar. And he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense together with the prayers of the saints went up before God from the angel's hand. And notice what happens next. Then the angel took the censer, it's filled, all the prayers of God are all part of this, filled it with the fire from the altar, and then hurled it back on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flash of lightning, earthquake. In other words, the earth shook and everything changed. Because what God does is when he wants to pour out his will and his power on the earth, what he does is he takes the prayers of the saints and he combines it with the fire of the earth, and he just does this. And any outpouring you've ever seen, every movement, any movement of God that you've seen where something has just broken up, when revivals happen, when a community's changed, what has happened is the prayers of the saints, God's been paying attention to them. He's been holding on to them. It says, now that those prayers are here and now that I've, in my good, loving way, I know it's time, I'm going to take those prayers, I'm going to mix it with my glory, I'm just going to pour it right back out. And so you and I, we need to be faithful to pray, because every time we pray, we're getting a little closer to the answer. And I want you to think about this. And don't forget that Satan sees you getting closer to the answer, so the closer you get to the answer, the more your circumstances he's going to try to make discouraging in your life. The closer you get, you're far away, hey, do whatever you want. All right? You're getting closer to God's breakthrough. You're getting closer to his answer. You're getting closer to his hope, to his glory. Well, he's going to turn up the heat. And we need to remember, though, as that's happening, if we'll pray first, God will cause us to walk above that We want it. It's more this way. Now I'm above it. I'm with God. I'm the and what we know is every prayer is about to bring us closer. So I just want you to realize what the book of Revelation says is that God is tracking what he treasures. And that's the prayers of the saints. And he calls us to a pattern of prayer because it means the most to him. It's his priority. It's not us. It's him that does the work. We just trust in him. Some of you here today, bitterness got a pretty good, you know, got a little hold on you. Just, Lord, today, I need grace. God, I'm just going to pray that you would break that feeling of burden over my life and that you would begin to give me hope again. God, would you begin to change me? God, would you begin to answer? Every possible prayer we pray brings us closer to God's impossible power being poured out on the earth. That's what the Bible teaches. Every prayer, God's tracking these prayers. It's not a works thing. It's just a heart thing. It's just a heart thing. It matters that you pray. You know, a lot of times, like, I don't have the ability to change this. I'm not smart enough. I'm not skilled enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not this enough. God's saying, all you got to do is pray. That's all I'm looking for. I'm just looking for someone who's depending on me. And so I want to encourage you that this is our call. This is what we said last week. I want to remind you today. And please, I'm just hoping someone's going to grab hold of it today and be convinced in their mind that it doesn't become an idea, it becomes a pattern of life, is you know what? Regardless of what family I was born into, my income level, my criminal background, all that stuff is like, you know, regardless of all these things, if I really give my life to Christ now, my legacy is going to be about praying, not what I've done in the past. My family's victory is going to be about what God's going to do, not what everybody else has done to it. My community's destiny, why we're praying for the schools tonight, is because if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I'll change the destiny of a community. It's prayer decides these things. And we want to let those bees, you know, we don't want them to drive us away from prayer. We want to drive to prayer. So the scripture tells us this. The scripture actually says in Hebrews 10, let us not give up on the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And, of course, I put in a little note there. It certainly includes prayer. We're supposed to be encouraging each other to pray. So how are we going to do that? How are we as a church going to encourage one another? Let's not give up. Let's really press in prayer. That's what this year, this school year is all about. We want to be people of prayer. We want to pray first. So what we're doing is we're doing something called Pray First, A Million Minutes of Prayer. And what we want to do is we want to encourage each other. Let's pray. Let's pray some more. A matter of fact, wouldn't it be amazing if by the time we got to Anniversary Sunday on the first Sunday of May, through most of the school year, our church had prayed a million minutes together. We prayed. We just sought the Lord. Now sometimes we're going to be together physically, a lot of times in the spirit, because we know people's schedules. So what we're doing to try to motivate one another to remember to pray is we're going to do something called Million Minutes, all right? Million Minutes of Prayer, 1 million minutes. And we want you to be part of it. Now, we figured out that if 300 of us here pray for 15 minutes a day, 5 days a week, up through May, we'll reach a million minutes of prayer. 300 of us, 15, including, and then we got a few corporate events that make up the actual, because some of you are doing the math right now. Like, let me see if he's right. All right, I get it. But if 300 of us will pray 15 minutes a day, 5 days a week, we'll pray a million minutes. If 300 of us will talk to God and listen to God and then give to God and then be filled with God, if 300 of us will pray a simple prayer, I depend on you, I need you, and if we all do that together and God's collecting all these prayers, what is this going to look like? Right? Life's legacy, family's victory, a community's destiny. Now, some of you may say, Pastor Sean, I got to start off at 5 minutes a day, but I'm going to track it. Well, good for you. Do 5 minutes a day. Hey, you know what? I'm committing to pray 5 minutes a day. And we're going to, in the next few weeks, we'll kind of complete the idea of how to do it in a simple, effective way. But you just start by following the Luke devotions. It's in your bulletin. We're going to do Monday is Luke 10:2. And if you're not just a verse person, then just read the whole chapter. But if you just want to read a verse, just read the verse. It's a verse about Jesus praying and what that's like. And just tomorrow, when you get up, when you're praying first, when you're before, during lunch, whenever else you can do it, just read that scripture out loud. Then join me, talk to God, listen to God. Just give God what he's showing you and let him fill you up. It's all you got to do. It's all you got to do. And so we'd like you today on your connection card, if you see this green guy here, we have the connection card which helps you sign up for things. The Wednesday night class is really incredible. By the way, singles, the marriage class is on the meaning of marriage. Great class to go to if that's part of your desire in your future. I know you might think, oh, that's a marriage class. Only married people go to that. No, I'd say you want to go to that class. I could go through. These are great classes. I would say for some of you to go to Bay the Satan where we learn not to be offended. But by saying that, maybe you'll get offended at me. And so I can't ask you to go. What do you mean? I don't get offended. Now no one's going to go to the class. No, really, it's a great class. I promise. I'll go too. All those classes. It's great. Back is pray first. And this is going to be the same way every week at Cornerstone. And on the back, it says this. It says, it gives you a place to write down an answered prayer. And we want to share these more with you. So I've been getting people telling me answered prayer. If you're okay with it, put the answered prayer there so we could share it on our prayer sheets. They come out every Wednesday, and then they're always in the back. You can see them from last week. Always a blessing. Then there's prayer requests. How do we agree? What's one of those prayers we should be putting in the bowl as we're praying together? And then on the bottom it says, I'm dedicating blank minutes a day to pray for this discipleship year. That's the million minutes. And I would love for each of you, and I would really urge you, really take prayer and take it away from being an idea and put it as a pattern in your life. And if you do that, God will do the rest. So we're about to take some time to do communion, to finish up. And as we do that, would you take a moment and fill out your prayer first card? Maybe some of you have an answered prayer that you'd love to share. We'd love to encourage. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That's where you're giving testimony right there. A prayer request. And in a moment, we're going to take communion. And at the end of the communion, as just a symbolic reminder of how important to God prayer is, we've got these golden bowls. These were not from heaven. They were from Target. And I could say so much more, but I'm just going to leave it. What we're going to do is, after communion, I'd like you, as Pastor Brandon finishes, I'd like you to take your commitment and put it in one of the bowls. Say, hey, Lord, by your grace. This is not legalism. This is not someone's going to change. This is just you and the Lord saying, God, I want to learn to make this a lifestyle in my life. So if you would take a moment and fill out your connection card. And as we're doing that, if the ushers would come forward and distribute the elements of communion, we're going to take communion together. Feel free to look over your connection card and your pray first sheet. Let's not forget that communion is a time that Jesus, before he went to Gethsemane, and what did he do? He prayed three times in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was struggling. He knew the pain and what the cross was going to do. And he just prayed a simple prayer. He said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And the scripture says that he was strengthened, that he was filled to be able to walk out the sacrifice all the way to the cross. As you wait for to get communion and you put down what you're going to do, I want you to think of something about communion. We first do the bread, which is a symbol of the broken body of Jesus Christ. Jesus was willing to break so that we could be made whole. He was willing to break his own desire, his own will. He even said, Father, if there's any way that this cup can pass from me, please let it. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will. So his will broke, not just his body. Some of you, as you're getting ready to take communion today, you need to take it and say, Lord, I'm not just taking this bread, but I would like to break my schedule according to your will. Like, I'd like to create a new pattern. I'd like to repent of doing it an old way. And in this new season, I'd like to pray 15 minutes a day, 5 minutes a day. I mean, real prayer. I'd like to do it before this. Let's not forget that God is not asking of us anything that he didn't offer us, because he offered up his very broken body for us. And then when we're going to get to the cup, we're going to get to the shed blood. That's how we're forgiven in this life. And in the Hebrew Jewish time, this cup of covenant was how I said I do to my betrothed. It was the one that I was going to marry. They literally gave me a cup of covenant, and I drank it. And when I drank it, it was my way of saying, I'm yours. And so when we drink this cup of covenant today, that's what we're saying. God, I'm yours. All of me. And as we do this, if you're here today and you've been enjoying church and Jesus and you're getting some good ideas, but you haven't made a lifestyle change, you haven't said to Jesus himself, God, I just don't want you to be a good idea in my life. I want you to be my life. Then today, before you take communion, what you need to do is you need to say a simple prayer. You need to say a prayer that recognizes that God, and here we go, I'm going to talk to him. He's going to talk back to me. I'm going to give him something. He's going to give something back to me. God, what I'm saying is this. I know I'm selfish. I know I'm pretty prideful. I try to control things, do things my own way. Lord, I know I'm wrong. And I know that without you, I'm never going to be right. I can fake it for a while. I can make it look good for a little bit, but I can't keep it up. Because in the end, the Bible says it's true. I am a sinful person, and I am a selfish person, and I need to die to that. And you died on the cross that part of me could die with you. So you're just going to say that to God, and then all he's going to do is say, you know what? What I did on the cross was the forgiveness that I am offering. I do love you. You are forgiven. You are welcome. Come in. And then you're going to say, well, God, let me give you all these things. Let me just give you. God, I can't change them, but I can give them to you. Could you show me how to start a new pattern that this doesn't happen anymore in my life? And then the Bible says really clearly that God gives you the Holy Spirit. He gives you a new spirit within you to live a different way. And so I'm going to ask you to stand right now. And let's start with making sure that we've said that prayer to God. Would you bow your heads with me? And I'm going to invite you. You don't have to say it out loud, but would you, if you want to ask forgiveness of your sins today, and you want to follow Christ, you want to be a Christian, not because you want to be religious, but you want to follow the one who gave his life for you. I'm just going to invite you to say these words in your own heart today. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you died for us. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, you see even in my selfishness that you're willing to love me, and that I ask forgiveness for my sin and my selfishness today. I can't do it without you. I can't love the people around me. I can't be a good person without you. I ask that you would forgive me of my sin. And I have faith in you, Lord Jesus, as the Son of God, that you died for my sins. You paid the price that I couldn't pray for the wrong things I've done. And I ask forgiveness, and I ask you to come into my life now. I give you my relationships, my priorities, and I ask that you would begin to pour in your Holy Spirit that I might live a way that really leads to life. Thank you for forgiving me. thank you for loving me. And I thank you, dear God, for giving me a new life in you.